everybody, what's going on? It's been a while, but we're back.
Let's get it.
It's your guy, Ollie. It's with my guy, D-Dubs.
D-Dub in the house.
Championship Sunday is over. Done. We have our Super Bowl competitors. The AFC winner, the NFC winner. Let's start with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tennessee Titans, man.
Man, this game was phenomenal. It's exactly what we thought it was going to be, and then some. I mean, truly was unpredictable, but at the same time, it's definitely the show that we thought it was going to be. It was an exciting game to watch. That's not even a question. These two teams really went at it. This was one of the most exciting playoff games, probably the season. For the Chiefs to be down 10-0, and then you know they start rallying back, you know, in the second quarter, and to come back from a 17-7 lead, a 17-7 deficit, it just shows that they have this will and this desire to win, that no matter what, whether they're up, whether they're down, they don't believe that just because the momentum swing happens that it's the end of it and that's over. They can see beyond that, and that's what I love about the Kansas City Chiefs. No matter what it is, they really can see past that.
I think that the best thing about them is they have a very strong leader. I think that's why they're able to make these comebacks. They, Patrick Mahomes, man, you see him on the sideline all the time. He's talking to those guys and he's pumping them up. He's getting them hype. He's getting them ready to ball. And to me, I think it was sort of kind of like we've seen this before watching them play the other day. You know, it was like we've seen it before from them. Just like we did last weekend against the Texans. It's like you can't count them out. And I think defensively, we said this before the Texans, before the Texans game, defensively, the second half of the season, they've been a whole entire, they've been a different team. Tyrann Mathieu on the back end, he's been solid. Frank Clark up front with Chris Jones, those two are mean up front, and you know, they bring the pressure. They've just been playing well, and to me, I think the game plan going in there was you needed to stop Derrick Henry. You needed to stop Derrick Henry. You couldn't let Derrick Henry have a big game. Mm-hmm. And they did that. They shut him down in the second half.
They did.
You know, he started the game pretty hot, and, you know, he was able to, get some type of rhythm going in the first half. But they shut him down in the second half, and that's what they needed to do. They needed to, you know, do that in order to even have a chance at winning. And I think they just did a good job. Great play calling from Andy Reid. And, you know, we've known that for years, man. Andy Reid is one of the greatest, you know, head coaches. You know, he's been a damn good head coach, you know, for all my life. You know, he's been a good coach. And, you know, he really called a good game. Him and Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator, they did a really good job in designing this thing, man, and they pulled this one out. I said this a few weeks ago that, you know, they had unfinished business coming into this season. Mm-hmm. They were two bad calls away from the Super Bowl last year. Mm-hmm. And to come back this year and to have this type of performance at home again, against a formidable team, I think, you know, they stepped up and did their job.
Yeah. And, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, it was just remarkable to see them come back. You got Pat Mahomes that in the red zone is taking the chance and running up the sideline going for the TD. Even when he has a chance to get out of bounds and, you know, stop the clock, he said, you know what? Let's get those extra yards and eat it up. And, you know, to run free like that, you know, Andy Reid gives these players the opportunity to play free. That's why you see them collectively play so well together. Everybody can just play free and just play to, you know, true to their game. You know, you see, you know, Travis Kelce and you even Sammy Watkins, even though Sammy did have a drop that I wasn't happy about. It's okay. He made up for it with that, you know, that 60-yard bomb. Oh my God, that was a beauty. You know what I'm saying? And you man, it was just incredible game. And the Tennessee Titans, they put up some good some good numbers, but it just wasn't enough.
It wasn't a good day for my guys, man. Tannehill and Rodgers, it just wasn't a good day for those two guys.
Oh, you talking about your other guy now?
We'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that in a second, but I am very happy for the Kansas City Chiefs, man. I think they deserve this. They're my Super Bowl pick right now. I'm picking them to win it all.
Me too.
And you know, if you're a 49ers fan listening to this, I know you're probably like waiting at my house to throw eggs and toilet paper because I've doubted you guys all year, but I doubt you guys. I'm doubting you guys again. I have the Chiefs as my Super Bowl pick, and going into the Packers in San Francisco. Oh my God, that's all I can say. I mean, they ran the football over and over and over. That drive, there was one drive they ran the ball seven times. They ran the ball seven times against the Green Bay Packers.
And they got through every single time. They got through seven every times. Single time. And you know, okay, so here's...
They got first downs and a touchdown. It was embarrassing,
look at
man.
The stat for Jimmy G. He had only, eight out of nine passing attempts? 87 yards? Or something like that? That's all they did. Oh, sorry. He was 6 for 8 for 77 yards. I apologize about that. But are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? They ran all over the Green Bay Packers. But granted,
to me, it goes to the defensive coordinator.
It does.
You have a head coach. I know you have defensive players.
At the same time.
But you got to call up a scheme.
At the same time. You have to do something. Aaron Rodgers and that offense was taking very, very long to get started. If they came out shooting like they came out shooting in the second half early.
They were jet lagged.
Talking about a different game. And you know.
They were jet lagged.
What the Green Bay Packers like are lacking is a solid number two receiver, because Davante Adams is the solid number one, and that's what killed them, is they didn't have a solid number two. Granted, Valdez, you know, Scantling, he is a good receiver, but he's not a reliable
week to week receiver.
He's a fifth round draft pick, but for the shoes that he's filled in, he's done a very, very good job. And you know, I think Geronimo Allison coming in, but that's not a number one receiver. You also got what's the other
exactly
receiver?
Listen, the Packers have done a good job in the last year and a half at getting draft picks and hitting on draft picks and free agency. Mm-hmm. Their top priority this offseason needs to be getting receivers and weapons for Aaron Rodgers. I think their offensive line, albeit Aaron Rodgers took a couple of sacks, if you look at all the sacks, number one, Aaron Rodgers was holding the ball way too long. Number two, it was almost like he was oblivious. To the pass rush. You know, the chant is go pack go. It was to a point where I was screaming no pack no. It's like it was ridiculous how he played. It was ridiculous how I just didn't like the body language of the team.
Yeah.
Just to begin the game. Like I said, I don't think they showed up. Not until maybe the third quarter. Like you said, it was an embarrassing thing to see. Now, as far as the future goes, I think the Packers still have a bright future. I think Matt LaFleur is a good head coach. I think he's a solid head coach for a young guy. They have some foundational pieces even long after Aaron Rodgers. They got solid pieces on the offensive line.
Take that back.
Why would I take that back?
Because you're tripping.
They just drafted Elgton Jenkins.
Their offensive line needs help. It needs help. Look what happened.
You're tripping.
Their offensive line needs help. Just hear me out.
They got all pros. They got Turner. They got Elgton Jenkins. They just drafted. They got Bakhtiari. They still got Bulaga.
But look what happened this season. The offensive line is the reason why Aaron Rodgers is...
There was injuries. They had to move things around.
My point is, he didn't have his two best players. They need to address those injuries. So that's what I was getting to.
How are they going to address the injuries? How are they going to address the injuries?
You got to find some young guys that can fill in, especially on the tackle side.
Exactly. Bakhtiari's 25 years old. He's 25 years old.
Yeah, he's 25 years old, but you look how many injuries they had this season, and Bakhtiari
still... He's 25 years old. How young do you want to get?
Is he a starter?
You going to get a 22-year-old, inexperienced 22-year-old?
Come on, man, that's crazy.
That's crazy. They have the pieces. They have foundational pieces for the future.
They have solid pieces on their offensive line. You also got guys like Jay Sternberger. I like what I saw
out of
him.
He's a bum. He's a bum tight end.
You think he's a bum?
He's not going to make it. They need to find weapons.
I mean, I'm not saying that he is the weapon of the future, but they have something in him. I want to see what he has coming up next season. I want to see them, you know, keep him and work with him, because he has a lot of potential from what I saw. You know what I'm saying? But they still need another receiver. They need another receiver on the other side.
That is their main priority. Mm-hmm. That's added to some of the foundational pieces that they have, including that offensive line. They have a running back. They have a receiver. They need a tight end. They need two tight ends. They need a tight end that can actually block. Sternberger's not the guy for their blocking.
No, Mercedes Lewis, he can catch the ball. He got some good hands.
I don't even know why he's still in the NFL.
He got some good hands.
Maybe.
He got some good hands.
They need to address the weapons for Aaron Rodgers moving forward. They need to address the weapons for him.
They do.
They have some free agents that they need to worry about on the offensive line. You know, receiver wise, what are they going to do? There's a chance they could get somebody in the receiver. Can you imagine? Odell Beckham is probably not going to stay in Cleveland. No. There's a chance that you can hook him up with Green Bay, with Aaron Rodgers. Why not take that? There's so many receivers that are potentially going to be out there.
If Odell Beckham goes to the Green Bay Packers,
That's just a thought. I know. That's just somewhere where he could fit.
Spoiler alert, somebody who could be an added weapon for Aaron Rodgers. We don't want to spoil any good news out there, just in case, you know, people out there listening think we're ruining in their football. We're giving you facts out here. We're giving you the ideas. If he does go out there, It'd be a nice move, but you know, they really need to get a draft. They need to draft a number one receiver, because look what Odell Beckham is doing now. Come on, like you see what happened to LSU, and like afterwards and the instance. I mean, you don't need that kind of attention. You out here. You trying to win. You know what I'm saying? Get some young blood in there that knows. That wants to win a championship. I mean, granted, Odell Beckham wants to win, but how bad does he want to win? Because he's not showing that he want to win right now. You know what I'm saying? So,
it's just a thought. But you know, I'm not. That's just a name out there. I don't particularly think that, you know, Odell Beckham is gonna go in there. He's gonna be a nice guy, anything like that. I don't know. I honestly could care less about Odell at this point.
You're right.
It's just a place where he can fit. Now,
you're right.
Granted, there's a number of guys coming in this draft that can be a legit number two receiver. There are guys that are going to be coming in late too. They can move up and get a guy like CeeDee Lamb, Shenault from Colorado. They can move up. T. Higgins from Clemson. There's a bunch of guys that can fall right to the Packers in the late end of the first round. It's definitely an open thing. It's not far fetched for them to get a clear wide receiver. But they need more than just a wide receiver. They need a middle linebacker. What we saw last night was embarrassing. There's no reason the team should be able to run for 280 yards in a playoff game on you like that. It's inexcusable. But we'll move. I'm gonna move on from the Packers because their season is done. There's no reason to talk about the Packers anymore because they're done. On the other end of the of last night though, the 49ers, I'll say they played a terrific game. Forget Richard Sherman, and yes, I said that live. I'm saying it again. No disrespect, Richard Sherman, you're a baller. No disrespect to Richard Sherman, but forget Richard Sherman, forget Fred Warner, forget Nick Bosa, forget everybody on that team except for Mosley. That young man can ball. Like when I tell you he can ball, he can ball. He locked up anybody who was covering last night. I think that he's a gem that nobody's talking about right now for the 49ers. Mm-hmm. I think playing on the outside, he's solidified himself as probably one of the better corners in all of football already. That's how high I am on this guy right now. I think that he's something to look out for. I think come the Super Bowl, believe it or not, I think he's going to give Pat Mahomes some trouble. I don't think he's going to, you know, completely smother Tyreek Hill if he covers him all game, because Tyreek Hill's speed is
insane,
out of this world. It's crazy. But I'll tell you this. This kid can cover. He's tough as nails. He hits hard. Mm-hmm. He's not afraid of the challenge. And he played well last night. He played very well last night. And I really like him, man. And I think it's a big part of having Richard Sherman on the other side. Having Richard Sherman at practice. Having him in the locker room. He's a mentally sharp guy, Richard Sherman. He studies. He plays mm-hmm. well. And to me, when you have burnt. A guy like that in your locker room, it spreads. It spreads to the younger guys. So I think that's what has happened.
Let me tell you the one flaw that Richard Sherman has. You want to hear the one flaw Richard Sherman has in his game?
Oh, Mark, here you go, bro. You gotta
hear me out.
Talk about flaws, man.
The one flaw in Richard Sherman's game. Man? He is one of the best cornerbacks in the league, but his one flaw is. He doesn't travel with the number one receiver. If you're gonna be the number one,
not anymore.
That wasn't his main thing. The only time you ever seen him line up on the number one receiver is when the game was on the line, super duper late tight. You feel me? They would double up
you
or he would try.
Just- You are just wild.
I'm not wilding right now. He doesn't travel. When have you seen him on a consistent basis during the season travel with the number one receiver if they're going across the other field? Nope. He always sits in the bump and run, the cover, or the man to man on his side or a cover three. You never see him travel across the field. I'm telling you, it's rare. And when it did happen, it was super duper early in his career. It don't happen.
Let me just start off by saying, Richard Sherman, I'm sorry.
But like I said,
I apologize. I apologize on behalf of us. I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't know what else to say. I don't know. I have no idea what else to say about the situation. But I'm sorry. but look, let's be clear, man. At his age, after Achilles injury. I don't want Richard Sherman covering the top guy all the time. I'll take what I can get because now I put him in a position to maximize his talent. They threw to his side one time last night. One time, albeit it was for a 63-yard hit,
mm-hmm.
but one time.
They went at him one time. You're right.
Because why?
Because that forefront, defensive forefront was killing Aaron Rodgers.
This is the guy that I'm telling you I'll take at quarterback any day of the week, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers did not throw. He didn't throw to his side.
No, you're right.
Damn near the
right.
whole game.
You're right. But Aaron Rodgers was asleep. Did you see him? Look at his face. He looked like he just woke up.
The main guy.
No, but what I'm saying though is Aaron Rodgers did not play like the Aaron Rodgers that we needed him to play. This was a C minus performance for Aaron Rodgers. I'm disappointed.
But then again, that's okay. Aaron Rodgers played poor, but that does not take away from the the influence that, that Richard Sherman had on the game and his effect
right,
on the
game. Yeah, I give you that. I give you that.
It because like he, I don't. That's why I don't need him to cover the number one guy. I don't need him to cover Devontae Adams the whole game because I can get him to make plays on the other side of the football.
This is what I'm talking about. You're going to go against an offense on with Kansas City that has multiple weapons all over the place. If you're going to be, are you going to be playing man to man? If you are playing man to man, who are you covering man to man? Are you going to be traveling with Tariq Hill going across the field? That's what I'm talking about, this matchup. You're going to go across the field with Sammy Watkins? I want to see that matchup. If you're going to go across
first the and field. First and foremost, from what we can already tell with the San Francisco 49ers, they do a lot of things similar to what Seattle used to do. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of cover three, man up. They do a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And because of that, with the tight covers on the outside, they're able to get pressure. So, yes, if I know the play is going to break down for the offense – to where there's a chance there's going to be a sack by the front four or front seven, and I could get the play to break down to where the receiver, his route is over, he has to try to make something up, I will take that chance because I know as Richard Sherman, being a playmaker that he is, he can recover and he can make a play on the football. Even if he gets burnt on the initial route, if the play breaks down and the route and the play has to keep extending – this gives Richard Sherman as the defensive player more time to come back and make another play on the football. And as we've seen throughout the season, that's one of the best things that San Francisco's done. Take a look just last week in the divisional round. A lot of times when they were bringing the pressure up front, the plays were extending for the receivers. They had to get out their routes and try to maneuver and manage and do things. That's how he got that first interception last week. So, you know, that they use their scheme to the best of their abilities and to their players. They do a good job at it. And to me, I think that they will give Kansas City some fits in the Super Bowl. But I just, you know, I don't think that they can beat Kansas City. Only because I don't think you can keep Kansas City down long. Like, they were up 27-0 on the Packers, and the Packers were able to, you know, sort of kind of score late into the game. The Kansas City Chiefs will score. They will score. And they will score in a hurry. You know, mm-hmm. It's almost like a college game.
It's almost like those late college games.
And they, you know, they'll be down 15, 20 points. And it's okay. They're unfazed. And to me, I know they're not going to play against each other. But one of the biggest key factors I think is going to be this Super Bowl is number one versus number two. Who's the number one tight end in football? Who's the number two tight end in football? It's all about that. It's going to be all about that matchup for the Super Bowl. And I think Travis Kelce is, I've said this over and over again, I think he's the best tight end in football. And I think he's shown that the last 2 weeks, and I think he's going to show it again in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, and it's also going to come down to who's the best quarterback in football right now, too, because you have two quarterbacks on each side of the football. Their first Super Bowls ever. This is the defining moment for these two teams. But you've seen what Kansas City can do with all the offensive weapons. What I love about Kansas City is that they're such a young core group, and they have so much experience behind them with Andy Reid and his staff. And it's like watching like kids play backyard football in such an organized manner. It's unstoppable. I love watching them, and I picked them to win the Super Bowl. But I still think it's gonna be a close game between the two teams because, like you said, the 49ers defense, they are not something to sleep on. Granted, they've had some tough situations in certain matchups here and there, but they are a still number one defense in this league. So I want to see what goes down on February 2nd in Miami after the Super Bowl 54. Man, this is crazy.
And the one thing I'll say about the quarterback situation is I know Jimmy G has a good coach behind him that enables him to play to his strengths. And not so much his weaknesses. Like, you rarely see the weaknesses in Jimmy G's game because Kyle Shanahan is such a great play caller, you know? And yeah. And on the other side, Andy Reid, he knows how talented Patrick Mahomes is, so he tailors the game to Patrick Mahomes. So to me, it's a little bit of a difference, but I still think because of their coaching styles behind both quarterbacks, mm-hmm. they're able to play efficiently and play well and you know, use all of their resources and assets on the field. So to me, it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be the old age in terms of Andy Reid versus the new age versus Kyle Shanahan. It's sort of kind of like, you know, he's going up against his uncle. I'm going up against my uncle that I've learned all these things from him, and now we're going to clash. You know, it's sort of kind of like that feeling between those two teams. And to me, I just think Kansas City right now is just really equipped to win the Super Bowl, especially if they're down, especially if they're losing. They just have all of the resources to make a comeback and compete.
That's a very dangerous thing, especially against, you know, a defense like the 49ers, you know what I mean? It's going to be interesting. Can you even pull that off? I mean, they've done things before, but against this 49ers defense, like you said, it's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, man. And speaking about quarterbacks, it's kind of crazy. You know, just looking at this, man, you look at the quarterbacks that lost in the playoffs this year, Breeze, Brady, you know, Rivers didn't make it to the playoffs. Manning wasn't in the playoffs. Roethlisberger wasn't in the playoffs. It's a new age, and we're seeing all these young quarterbacks. The NFL is in good hands, man, when you really look at it. I mean, even with the Browns Baker Mayfield.
You got to think about it. When you look at the playoffs, how many quarterbacks were under the age of, you know, 26? You had quite a few. You had Deshaun Watson. You've
been looking at Ryan Tannehill.
Deshaun Watson. Yeah. You're talking about
Carson Wentz was in the playoffs. Carson Wentz,
Josh Allen, like all under the. I think Ryan Tannehill might be a little bit older than 26, but he's right around that mark. But yeah, you see around that age bracket, these guys are dominating the NFL right now. These guys are in the prime. And granted, Pat Mahomes is one of the youngest. You know what I mean? So to see like
he's young as hell.
To see,
I don't even think he could drink yet. Patrick Mahomes drink? Do you think is he 21? He might be. I would say. I mean, maybe. He could probably still drink, even though he's not 21. He's fucking Patrick Mahomes. He walk anywhere. Ain't nobody gonna deny him a drink. But I don't know if he's 21 yet. He might be.
Yeah, he might be. But you know what I mean? He's 24. But like I said, he's in.
He's 24.
Yeah, he's in that age bracket.
Patrick Mahomes is 24.
24.
What the hell?
Yeah. Think about it. He's been in the league. Three seasons already. Three seasons. Remember,
he's the new Steph Curry. The new baby faced assassin.
He is.
That's what the hell. He the new Steph Curry.
Yeah, and but you still.
But honestly,
let's not forget Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I was just about to ask. Right now.
Assassins.
Right now. Look, listen. Mm-hmm. Right now, your top five young quarterbacks in the NFL.
My top five young quarterbacks, and this is not in order. This is just my top five. Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, and you're talking about Josh Allen. And if I got to go with a number five, it would have to be between Carson Wentz and Ryan Tannehill.
Like, why? Why did you have to do that?
Because
Put it in order, man. Put it like why? Why you had? Okay, to, you don't want to put it in order.
I put it in order for you. I put it in order for you. At number five, we're going with Carson Wentz. At number four, we're going with Josh Allen. At number three, we're going with Deshaun Watson. At number two, we're going with Lamar Jackson. At number one, we're going to Patrick Mahomes.
You put Carson Wentz under Josh Allen? What? All right, man. Yeah, I'm thinking right now, young quarterbacks in order, my top five, Patrick Mahomes definitely is number one. Mm-hmm. You're sneaky disrespectful. forgetting Jared Goff at number two. I definitely have Jared Goff at number
two. Are you kidding me? Jared Goff is not the number two quarterback in the league right now. Please stop it. Stop it.
Young quarterback, I'll put Jared Goff.
I'm sorry. Number three. You're not in that group.
Number three, I'll put Lamar Jackson.
I'll put
Deshaun Watson. Uh-huh. And then number five, I'll give you Baker Mayfield. That's my five right now.
I'm sorry, Cudgery season fans. I'm so sorry because that list was absolute garbage, in my opinion.
You put Josh Allen in your top five over Baker Mayfield. You're tripping. You think Josh Allen is better than Baker Mayfield?
Of course. As of right now, yes, I do. Baker Mayfield has been playing like trash. The way that he's been reading these defenses, he needs to get his head back in the books and out of these commercials. Josh Allen played phenomenal this year. He got his team where? To the playoffs. So I don't want to hear
anything about Baker Mayfield. I'll put Josh Allen in the top 10. Not no damn top five. Top five?
Okay.
The man who threw the lateral with the game on the line, you going to put him in the top five?
Hold on. Wait. I'm not talking about top quarterbacks in the league right now. That was top five quarterbacks in that generational group, because remember, that's what we were talking about, that specific age group.
And you put him over Baker Mayfield still?
I did.
You're crazy. You're tripping.
Okay, I mean, the fact that you have Baker Mayfield in your top five, like, what do you, like, he had one good season.
They didn't win many games this year, but Baker Mayfield still put up consistent numbers. He was balling this year. He still put up consistent numbers.
Consistent numbers with interceptions, you mean? Like he was behind Jameis, like right behind Jameis Winston when it came to almost to touchdown interception ratio. Like, no.
He's a young quarterback. He has to learn. That's acceptable.
He's a young quarterback, but as of right now, he didn't make the top five. Because guess what? You play like that. You play like trash. You don't make top five. It is what it is.
That's the worst list because you put Josh Allen over Baker Mayfield. Josh Allen and no list at all should be over Baker Mayfield. And you put him over Carson Wentz. You think Josh Allen is better than Carson Wentz? I could switch that up.
Carson Wentz is better than Josh Allen. I could switch to number four and number five. That's interchangeable for me. That don't mean nothing. But the other top three are straight.
I mean, that's cool with you, but I just don't think that Josh Allen should be up there. And I definitely think that Jared Goff is up there.
You got to think about it. Josh Allen makes things happen for his team.
I'm done talking about Josh Allen, bro.
So does Carson Wentz.
He's cheese. He's not that good. He's not that good.
Come on, man. We already know who's cheese. We already know who's cheese. He's sitting at home right now. The big cheese.
Look, we're talking about these young quarterbacks. We're not talking about Aaron Rodgers right now. I wasn't even talking about Aaron Rodgers. I was talking about the team, the Packers. I know who you were referring to.
But listen. In all seriousness, just look at and evaluate his game this year. We're talking about this year. Josh Allen's been in the league, what, 2 years, going on 3 years? Almost the same thing as Baker Mayfield. They were in the same draft class, am I correct?
Yeah, they were in the same draft. And who went number one?
They were in the same
draft. Who went number one? Baker Mayfield, not Josh Allen.
Number one. And out of their three seasons, who's got more winning seasons? You're right, Josh Allen. So like I was saying, who's been playing better? He's still not better.
He's not better, bro. You're a trip. Please let's stop talking about Josh Allen. I'm tired of talking about Josh Allen. He lateraled with the game on the line. I'm done with Josh Allen. When you look up Josh Allen, what you're going to see is the lateral. I'm done with him. I don't want to talk about Josh Allen. Let's talk about Jared Goff and why he's my number two. Jared Goff, even though he had a down year this year, he's still a legit quarterback. He makes plays for his team. He has great receivers, and he knows that he plays well. He has a great coach in McVay. People forget he was just in the Super Bowl last year. Mahomes, Jackson, they're not the first young guys to do this. And people keep forgetting. Jared Goff played that. It's not like Carson Wentz year, him going down at the end of the year. Jared Goff played damn near the whole season, and he had numbers. And he produces. He wins games. He's a baller, man. I think people don't mention him a lot. I don't know why people don't mention him a lot. But he's a legit quarterback. I really like Jared Goff's game.
He's in the top 10.
That's disrespectful. You're tripping. Jared Goff is legit, man. After Mahomes, I think the next best quarterback is Jared Goff. I know Lamar Jackson at number two. At number two. I know Lamar Jackson had a phenomenal year. Well, let's see if he can do it again. I still don't put him over Jared Goff because I think Jared Goff is a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson right now. I do. I know it has nothing to do with his style of play or nothing. I just think right now as a quarterback, Jared Goff is better.
But with that, we come to a close. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to put in your picks. Super Bowl 54. This is the big one, y'all. This is the big one. And
in Miami, to blow our pages, too. You know? It's gonna feel good. It's gonna be nice. Hopefully, it don't rain. It like the rain in Florida, but it's gonna be a good Super Bowl. It's gonna be something to watch. The Kansas City Chiefs taking on the San Francisco 49ers, probably the best offense in the NFL going against the best defense in the NFL. It's gonna be like that. It's gonna be lit. It's gonna be something to watch. And of course, it's your guys here. Coverage season. You already know. We'll catch you next time.